Chapter 5, The Tesseract.
Yes,
Mrs. Witch said.
He is behind the darkness, so that even we cannot see him.
Meg began to cry, to sob aloud. Through her tears, she could see Charles Wallace standing there very small, very white. Calvin put his arms around her, but she shuddered and broke away, sobbing wildly. Then she was enfolded in the great wings of Mrs. Watsit, and she felt comfort and strength pouring through her. Mrs. Watsit was not speaking aloud, and yet, through the wings, Meg understood words. My child, do not despair. Do you think we would have brought you here if there were no hope? We are asking you to do a difficult thing, but we are confident that you can do it. Your father needs help. He needs courage. And for his children, he may be able to do what he cannot do for himself.
Now, Mrs. Twitch said, are we ready?
Where are we going? Calvin asked. Again, Meg felt an actual physical tingling of fear as Mrs. Twitch spoke.
We must go behind the shadow.
But we will not do it all at once, Mrs. Watts had comforted them. We will do it in short stages. She looked at Meg. Now we will tesser. We will wrinkle again. Do you understand? No, Meg said flatly. Mrs. Watts sighed. Explanations are not easy when they are about things for which your civilization still has no words. Calvin talked about traveling at the speed of light. You understand that, little Meg?
Yes, Meg nodded.
That, of course, is the impractical long way around. We have learned to take shortcuts wherever possible.
Sort of like in math? Meg asked.
Like in math. Mrs. Watsit looked over at Mrs. Who. Take your skirt and show them.
La experiencia es la madre de la ciencia.
Spanish, my dears, Cervantes.
Experience is the mother of knowledge.
Mrs. Who took a portion of her white robe in her hands and held it tight. You see, Mrs. Watsit said, if a very small insect were to move from the section of skirt in Mrs. Who's right hand to that in her left, it would be quite a long walk for him if he had to walk straight across. Swiftly, Mrs. Who brought her hands, still holding the skirt, together. Now, you see, Mrs. Watsit said, he would be there without that long trip. That is how we travel. Charles Wallace accepted the explanation serenely. Even Calvin did not seem perturbed.
Oh, dear, Meg sighed. I guess I am a moron. I just don't get it.
That is because you think of space only in three dimensions, Mrs. Watsit told her. We travel in the fifth dimension.
This is something you can understand, Meg. Don't be afraid to try.
Was your mother able to explain a tesseract to you?
Well, she never did, Meg said. She got so upset about it.
Why, Mrs. Watsit? She said it had something to do with her and father. It was a concept they were playing with, Mrs. Watsit said, going beyond the fourth dimension to the fifth. Did your mother explain it to you, Charles?
Well, yes. Charles looked a little embarrassed.
Please don't be hurt, Meg. I just kept at her while you were at school till I got it out of her.
Meg sighed. Just explain it to me.
Okay, Charles said. What is the first dimension?
Well, a line.
Okay. And the second dimension?
Well, you'd square the line.
A flat square would be in the second dimension.
And the third?
Well, you'd square the second dimension.
Then the square wouldn't be flat anymore. It would have a bottom and sides and a top.
And the fourth?
Well,
I guess if you want to put it into mathematical terms, you'd square the square. But you can't take a pencil and draw it the way you can the first three.
I know it's got something to do with Einstein and time. I guess maybe you could call the fourth dimension time.
That's right, Charles said. Good girl.
Okay, then. For the fifth dimension, you'd square the fourth, wouldn't you?
I guess so.
Well, the fifth dimension's a tesseract. You add that to the other four dimensions, and you can travel through space without having to go the long way round.
In other words, to put it into Euclid, or old-fashioned plane geometry, a straight line is not the shortest distance between two points.